Last time we talked about the sociology of religions around the world. And I want to ask a question. Todd, if you were born in India, not just born in India, but your parents were Indian, your grandparents were Indian, what type of faith would you probably have?
Same as theirs.
Yes. If we were born in Iran, same question. How is culture and geography and family affect what religion would you be? More than likely.
You'd want to be the same and fit in with
society. Yes. Yeah, be Muslim. And the other be Hinduism. If I was born in Brazil, same idea. My family, my heritage, property, customs, all that. What would I probably be?
Catholic,
probably. That's right. Now, where am I going? If you were born in Texas or Mississippi or Louisiana or Georgia or Arkansas, matter of fact, even New York, okay? What religion would I probably be if my family and their home and the customs, what would I probably be? That's correct. That's right. That's right. And Catholic, because of the migration, okay, of Catholics there. Matter of fact, in the Northeast, you'd probably be Catholic. So what am I really saying? I'm saying as you look at all world religions, including ours, the one that you possess now, are you what you are? Because of geography? Are you what you are because of family? Are you that way because of customs? Is your faith one of those things that you've studied and looked at and contemplated? Some of you didn't have those parents that had that background. And you made a conscious decision by choice to embrace the gospel. In life, we have choices. And those choices, we need to make those with reasoning and faith and evidence. The choices we make in business or whatever it is, you make the same choices. In life, where you go on a vacation or you don't go on a vacation, or which kinfolks you go, or which party you go to, which congregation you're with, you make choices. And what I want to impress on you is that in this course, we're looking at other religions, which I started with. And in these other religions, they are that way, maybe, probably, because of where they're raised, and family, and geography. And it's to your own thoughts and your own imagination and your own thought process. Why are you what you are today on a percentage basis? So those are things to think about. And the same thing goes when we're looking at other religions. If you talk to other religions, other people have religion, keep that in mind. You know, sometimes we can go after people for their religion, and really, is that the major thing, or was it just because of geography and family? So when you're talking to other people about that, they may be thinking in their mind, oh no, I have to go against my family. oh no, I have to depart from my geography, my country, the customs, all those rituals and things that were going on. So the things for us to think about as we talk with others. And I guess sometimes we can throw a mirror up, can't we? And do the same thing. So for a genuine faith, we need to contemplate where our faith is rooted, where it comes from.
Objective evidence.
And then that objective evidence. We can make decisions. We can reason because of that evidence how we want to direct our life, how we want to help others in their lives. And eventually, what about eternal life? Is there such a thing? How do you get there? What's the meaning of life? So as you talk with other religions and in this course, we can contemplate that sort of thing. So just some thoughts to think about. Now we're going to begin on, any thoughts? Okay, good. On page 8, we're going to continue there with D, faith and reason. But before that, I want to ground you a little bit on that previous section. Do all religions lead to God? And I'm going to tell you that we are an exclusive religion. We exclude in Christianity because of what our Christ has said and what his apostles have said. We exclude other religions because of the evidence we have, because of the history, because of the logical process that we can go through in choosing Christianity. And so this exclusiveness, you start with what Jesus said in John 14:6. I am the true and living way, and no one comes to the Father but through me. That's exclusive. In John 8:24, unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. That's exclusive. Some religions around the world don't even believe in sins. That's convenient. But Jesus says there are sins committed against the Holy God. Jude 3, what about this word we have, the Bible? In Jude, it says, contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. Once for all time. No addendums, no additions, no exclusions. We have our textbook, if you could say. We have our directions from the Holy God, that we have them in our hands today. Revelation 22:18, where it says there, if anyone adds to or takes away from the words of this book, God will take away his part from the tree of life. This book, meaning sure Revelation letter, but also those other inspired books from Genesis forward. All of those books, all of those letters, all of those epistles, God wrote those from his mind and conveyed them through inspired men. And lastly, in Ephesians 4:5-6, the seven ones. Is it exclusive? Yes. You are very special. And you have the book that tells you you're very special. One of a kind. It says, Ephesians 4:5-6, that there's one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father. One. And these principles we're talking about here, this exclusiveness, does it give you pride? Yes. But more than that, it ought to give you humbleness. Humbleness in what you're exposed to in your life so far. And what others in the world are not exposed to. And love for yourself, love for your family, love for your brethren, love for the other people, persons, individuals, souls made in God's image is also needing care and help and instruction if you get the opportunity. So this course is the idea of familiarize you with their religions and where they're at, and we'll talk about that as we proceed in the course. Any additions to that? I want to make that strong point that you are special. But be special because you choose to be special. And weigh that in your choices that you make and your continuing choices. We're going to go through that next, probably today. There's going to be some harshness. There may be some, when people are confronted and you haven't been through that before, you tend to get riled up, okay? You tend to get defensive, very defensive. And we'll see even in the New Testament that when those Judaizing preachers were trying to go after Paul and the other individuals who were preaching Christ crucified, there was imprisonment. There was death. And even today, if you look out at Iran and places like that, and those Arab countries, it is not easy to stand on the corner or have an assembly. In fact, you're impossible because of these animosities. Violence and threats of violence on your family or closing your business or whatever it is. I was thinking about this. George Washington and Madison in that late 1700s, when they put in freedom of religion from government, what did they have in their mind? What was the backdrop of that? For hundreds of years. Oppression? That's right, religious persecution. Not just, oh, you shouldn't do that, okay, or it's your choice. No, death, burning. Building on Linda's point. So you can see why they put that in their constitution. Plus, again, many religions were coming over here for that religious freedom in this continent. So it's nothing new. It's been on people's mind for a long time. Not to mention Islam was moving through Africa and moving up Spain and other countries, and Catholicism was threatened. Then the Crusades occurred, 8 Crusades. So there's a lot of history on this idea of religion and controversy in religion and death. Persecutions. And sometimes persecutions can be subtle. Subtle, okay? Promotion at work. You going to promote someone that wears a turban? Or you going to promote someone that, you know, wears something else, a certain style, because of that? Or is it competency in their job? So we have to watch out for that in life. Any comment? D part. Faith and reason. Is the gospel logical? Yes. See if he's nodding, yes. Is it logical? Yes. there was a lot of trip up in the New Testament. They went to logic and this and that, and they listened until you got to the resurrection part. And that kind of threw a lot of them into turmoil. Because that was new to them, in a sense. So, and I submit to you, that is logical too, if you look at the evidence that we have for that in reason and faith. And God has supplied us with those things to reason from, logical reasons. Now, faith and reason. And rationalization comes in there also. Again, we're looking at this point from a kind of an umbrella overview sort of thing. Religions in the world, how do you determine even things in life? You use logic, you lose reason. Sometimes we just don't have any reason for what we do. Oh, we've got plenty of reasons in front of us, and we choose something else. So in religion, is that way also, because that's the way we are. Okay? So, first one I have, let me see if I can go back to that. Rationalization. It's a reliance on reason as a basis for solving a question with a solution. We reason it out. You do it every day in life, grocery store, okay? In religion, why shouldn't it be the same way? Reason things out. Now, is Jesus deity? Well, that goes back to Scripture. Isn't that John 10 and John 20? He says, because the Father is deity, and I'm deity. And again, that's what our section 4 is going to deal with in this course, is the idea of, is the Scriptures that we have, are they reliable? More than reliable, trustworthy. Because your eternity is at stake. The way you live each day is at stake. And you don't want to lie to other people in a false religion. So when you see in section 4 of this class that you can rely on Scripture as truth, quote unquote, that truth is not from the apostle's brain, not from some prophet's brain, but from the brain of God. His thoughts and his mind transferred to us and is reliable and trustworthy. So that's something to think about. Now, so that's a strong rationalization for that, because there is conclusive evidence in that first part. Jesus referred back to Scripture. How does it read to you? Reason? Yeah, you reason it out. Okay? It's here for you. And not to mention, in those days, what I said was backed up by what? Actions. Huh?
Actions and miracles.
They convinced me pretty quick. Saw some pretty quick conversions from Pentecost forward. Jesus working with people. His apostles working with people. Yes, sir.
And the fact that Christians back in those days were not afraid of death itself, just looking up, what we followed, something that was false and death.
That's right. That's right. It's an interesting thing when you look at some of the countries around the world now. In those countries then, there was a lot of religion, quote unquote. I mean, it was daily lives. It was things that you defended. Of course, the governments at that time, they just wanted to collect taxes. Let's be calm with it. All right, we don't want rebellion and anarchy. I don't want soldiers on the streets with their weapons drawn. So they would go along with these persecutions, even false persecutions, when people's livelihoods were threatened, when their status in a religious group was threatened, things they haven't heard before, those sort of things. I hope it never happens again. All right. In V2, can we have weak reasoning? Weak reasoning. But we're putting a rational sense to it. But when we're pressed, the reasons are there, but I don't want to see the reasons. They're good reasons. And we got some verses there that deal with that. It was Jesus in John 7, and he was reasoning with them. Do my will, because it's identical to God's will. And they warned in verse 19 to kill him, because he was claiming deity. The evidence was there, but they ignored that strong evidence. In Acts 2, 16 and 22, Acts 2, what's Acts 2 mainly about? Jesus on the cross, when you crucified him. Was even the Roman emperor or leader said he was innocent, but you crucified him. We'll shut you up. So violence was a result of logical work. In 16, in 16, Paul and Silas were in prison. Why? Just talking. Did they raise a sword? No. They just talking. But some people were coming over to their side. People of prominence. And you don't like people of prominence. Let them poor folks. Let them. The slave, let them change. But prominent people, now we're getting in trouble. In Acts 22, Paul recounts he caused death. Strong evidence. He investigated that the miracles were true. Peter's miracles were true. But Paul took orders. He caused death. Imprisonment to the people of the way. Again, they had the evidence, good evidence, but you push that aside. That's that second one where you talk about rationalization. The third one is critical rationalization, which can do things where I've got a belief system, but I can't really prove my facts. I don't have miracles like they had. You know, in some of those today, you can see like reincarnation. What can you prove, reincarnation? Well, I see. I got this vague memory, okay, of a past life that proves reincarnation. I've got some deja vu in life. Oh, that proves reincarnation. Does it? Is that proof? So that's, then you base your life and your religion on it. Okay? And again, dreams. I've had dreams, and I've also had this karma. Okay? So there's things to think about in that people, where you rationalize in life. So I get back again. You base your destiny on objective truth. Things that you can believe in that actually occurred. Did the resurrection occur? Did the miracles occur? Is the scriptures we have valid and provable and trustworthy? And I submit to you that's the way to approach to strengthen your life, your faith, as you approach others. okay, to deal with that approach. Any comment, anyone? What's happening in 20 and 30 and 31?
Oh,
10. I'm sorry. Oh. Oh. Yeah, let me look at that. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, let me see on that. What's Jesus want them to believe him for in this verse? Believe my works. Believe my works. And that's exactly what we've been talking about. Believe the things that I do. Observe what I do. And that's why in 31, because he was claiming deity, they wanted to throw rocks at him. Kill him. If I claim deity today, you know, what would that mean? How would you approach me? Can I use the power of the force and raise you out of the chair? Would that prove it? Can't do that. So that's one of the proofs there. I think that deals with that question. Now, am I still speaking loud enough for everyone? Yeah, I've been having some problems in the past on that. Page 9. I put this in deal with this reasoning and rationalization and that sort of thing in kind of a macro sense here. And if 70% of many religions could lead to eternal life, that's a survey that was done by the Pew Institute. And I guess that's good because, you know, it's a 70% of the people in the world think that, you know, there is an afterlife. And what does that mean if you believe in an afterlife? Because it's better than this life. I guess you'd want to believe that. You're hoping it does that. And is that people can have that thought. Is there more than life than just living and dying? Are my parents who died, are my grandparents who died, are my children who died, are my friends, is there more to life than this? So the reasoning is there is an afterlife. And you'll see in generally most religions around the world deal with that afterlife. Sometimes it goes in and out, but sometimes there's a finality to it too. In the next one, 68% believe there is more than one way to interpret the religious teachings. Is that reasonable? Is it reasonable to believe that I can interpret it differently and still be true to the words that I read? It depends. But generally, no. Whether there's the Vedas or Scripture or that sort of thing, you need to rely on the words. Because what else do you have if you don't have the words? I think so. I've seen this. That's a new thought. So words are good to interpret those readings. Now, number 3. Only 33% believe the word of God is literally true. That's a problem. 100 years ago, did people think that about Scripture? Was it literally true? I mean, when you think about Jonah and the Red Sea, creation in 6 days, the resurrection, is that literally true? Yes, it is. But those are things we need to look at and consider coming up. Again, number four, 20% of the Christians don't believe in second coming. How can the dead return? And again, that's always, the resurrection is always a difficulty. Because do we see it in life? Do we see people resurrected in life? Any way, any shape, any form? We don't, do we? You may see some people say, well, I died and I came back to life on the operating table and that sort of thing. But that's not resurrection. All that is, they came back alive. That's all it is. Okay? Through medical knowledge or procedures or internally in their body, whatever it was. And this last point, number five, then I'm going to read it. Don't assume your religious denominational friends personally believe, understands everything their religion denomination is said to believe. If you approach people, they may not know the history of their religion. There's a lot of nuances in religions that you really don't see, I guess, and understand until you're presented with, wait a minute now, reincarnation can't be. Okay. It's contradictory. Over and over and over, you come back as something else. And then you really don't learn things until you're confronted with an issue or a question. And I guarantee you now, you'll never be able to answer all the questions. And like we've said before, if you don't know an answer to a question, I'll be back with you. I appreciate the question. And so those things that can would appreciate through time and study. Now, yes, sir.
I guess all these statistics are based on some, it's looked at some point in time.
Right.
And include some group of people. It's my observation that as you look at these numbers here, these numbers are changing. They're all headed downward. For example, on number 3, I heard in the United States, an article come out that only 20% of people in the United States believe the Bible's the word of God. So it seems like
I think that also. The more secular, I guess I can use that word. As we get busier lives, as more social interaction with our phones and our pads, more of a world view, our time is diverted to something else, your faith diminishes. And those on the borderline, I guess you'd say, okay, would have, again, their time and energy is diverted, but also less time to put in their mind the things that are right, the things that are eternal, the things concerning the gospel, and in other religions too, of a sort, okay? I noticed even in China, there's some movement away from the traditional religions there. Again, a lot of this depends on the government you're under and how that works with the neighborhood you're in. Social pressure is a difficult thing, especially if everything in your family's there and you've been there for a year and you're not as mobile as you could be, especially in other countries. So, yeah, good point. Good point. Yes, yes, ma'am.
Rationalize the life they want to live now because
Our life situation influences our actions. And that bleeds over into religion, what you once thought to be a solid fact, a solid way of life, solid behavior. Man, we can change, you know, whether it's in marriage or remarriage, okay, withdrawal or not. A lot of things can affect that. Yes, sir. Let me say this about that. You say they interpret Scripture the same way, and that's correct. Because congregations, whatever group there are, okay, whatever church it is, they tend to dilute the message that they used to have with what? Social activities, family activities. They dilute what they used to be strong in. So the focus changes somewhat, doesn't it? Okay? To ministering to the whole person. And the whole family. And that's something to guard against when you can leave that, I almost say scriptures. You can leave the truth of the scripture behind and substitute it with something else. And let's see, I was reading yesterday about a large non-denominational church here in Houston. And in the comment page, the person was commenting, we looked around at Methodist, Baptist, and all that sort of thing, and we want to go to this, you know, thousands of members, denominational church, non-denominational. And the drawing point was, guess what the drawing point was? They got jumps for the kids. They got play areas. They got buses for field trips to whatever. They got a lot of social inaction and parties. But a lot of it was for kids. A lot of it was for kids. And they provided that, and that was the drawing point for why they attend, why they contribute, where they spend their time. And does that dilute faith? Yes, it does. And I guarantee you on Judgment Day, there's going to be a reckoning. And I can see when the book of life is opened, maybe it was you. February 13th, 2023, said to him, you better be careful of that because you're not doing what Scripture says and you're violating the true law of eternal life. And that book of life is going to say, and remember, you were told that, and what did you do about it? Dismissed it. Because I want to have fun. So there's a thing to think about. Yes, sir. Yes. And if I may say, Craig puts those together each week. He contemplates those. He looks at them. And there's more than one just, you know, they're not sent to him. He picks them up. And Craig does an honorable job in those messenger articles that he has. And from varied people. And again, these articles bring a point to mind that he's trying to make with us. He wrote it. Men wrote those articles. And it's for you to examine them. And see if they apply to your life, okay? Or if they're in error. Or didn't explain enough. But those things are very valuable that Craig goes through those. So remember him and get a chance to thank him for that. Okay? He does that each week. Now, I put this last in because I guess you'd say everybody's concerned with their riches and their money. You see that in the New Testament. in another large denominational group, I was looking at just a different one. And in the comments, you know, yeah, they did this and this and this, but man, they hit this idea of they want money. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And that was turning that person off. You know, they went from five stars, you know, down to 2 stars. All right? And they said they understand that, but it just seemed like it was pounded for, you know, months at a time. I guess you got to have that to keep up those large facilities, okay, and all those programs. So that's why I put this in, the 10 richest religions in the world. I'm not saying that they, what can I say? They're like anyone else. They're going to collect funds to maintain their services. Yes. Condition of employment.
Yes. To be a condition of a member of their church. She had to sign this agreement that she would contribute.
Very interesting. Because they had to keep up their status in the community and in the business community. We contributed this. That's a good point. Can I substitute doing collecting funds? Can I substitute that for faith? Does that make me feel good? Does it make me feel like God loves me now because I've collected funds? Well, yes and no. That's your entire faith. Okay? But there's more than that. And for business to force you, what was the United Way? You used to do that sort of thing. And finally, they got it where you could choose where you could contribute to that. But there's a lot of pressure at work. We got to make our 10% goal. We got to make our whatever thousands of dollars goal. So that, again, you can see these religions here and the riches and that sort of thing. And a lot of this deals with the idea how long they've been in business, okay, how they dealt with, how do you resolve yourself with sins? Well, I'm going to pay for it, okay? That ought to get rid of my sins, okay? Whether it's indulgences or whatever it is. And again, some of them Latter-day Saints, they're in business and every kind of health food you can think of, okay? And then someone just been around a long time. Someone just have masses of people that they collect from. So that's something to think about. And next time we'll start with lesson 2. Lesson 2, considerations of world religions. Tests and study, okay? What, how, and why. And thank you very much.